So what about this late line situation, Joyce? Do you see meaningful responses to chemotherapeutic agents? We're going to talk about eribulin and the taxanes and gemcitabine and, you know, the whole litany of ixabibulones out there. You know, do you see people who really tangibly benefit?
Yeah, the patients, again, are very heterogeneous. In general, patients who have a history of having some benefit from previous therapies are the ones who have the highest chances of getting additional benefit. So cancer that's been sensitive in the past can definitely continue to be sensitive over time with non-cross-resistant agents. Performance status makes a big difference. We don't understand physiologically why that is, but the stronger patients are, the higher the chances are that they will benefit. And then, of course, end organ function, particularly liver dysfunction, can make it quite difficult to treat patients with meaningful doses. Conversely, patients who have had pan-resistant disease, where they really haven't benefited, those patients tend not to benefit from additional cytotoxics or endocrine agents. We really need to think about getting those patients onto novel clinical trials with novel agents, you know, to overcome resistance mechanisms. So, but generally, yes, and this is one of those situations where we can't really say, you know, two or three regimens should be it in terms of therapies for metastatic disease, because there certainly are patients who can benefit from, you know, 6, 8, 10 lines of therapy depending on their past history.
And when we've polled oncologists, actually Hal Burstein, your colleague, Georgia, asked us to ask this question, we actually found that on average people like this go through around 5 lines of treatment, so some more, some less. I want to go through some of the content issues that relate to this, but first, maybe you mentioned it, Lee, but I want to ask you, Lita, did this woman ever go into hospice?
So she was admitted the week before she passed away with a pretty significant chain, so she had fallen at home. And again, even a week or two prior to her passing away, she was at home and functioning fairly well. So she went down very quickly and very hard and had fallen at home. And so I brought her in and admitted her in clinic that morning when I found out, and she died about 5 days later. So she was discharged from the hospital to an inpatient hospice setting, which is another interesting question about kind of where do patients want to pass away and what's best for the patient and their family. So we had a long discussion, and as much loving family as she had, you know, respiratory-wise, she had significant needs, and I was afraid that she was going to have somewhat of an uncomfortable passing if she didn't have 24-hour care. And her family agreed that an inpatient setting was the right place, and I completely agreed, and she died within 48 hours.